Hey, thanks for tuning in to Local Insight. I'm your host, Aaron Wright. Local Insight is an iRealty Experts podcast where we introduce our clients and listeners to local business leaders, real estate professionals, and local artists who play a significant role in shaping our Central Ohio community. Our guest today is an entrepreneur here in Central Ohio and really embodies exactly what we're looking for guests and what we envision for guests for this podcast. So I want to welcome Marty Parker to the first episode of Local Insight.
Well, thank you, Aaron. My name is Marty Parker, and I am an owner of multiple facilities across the country that involve competitive socializing. That is the core structure of what we do. And what is that? That is when you go out with your friends and your family, and you are competing socially for something. And that could either be competing to help each other out in an escape room or with a mud run, potentially, or axe throwing. That's a very, very popular concept as of late, where you're competing against the other for that, or a throw bar. And I've got right here here in Dublin, Ohio, we have a throw bar called Throw Nation.
Yep.
It was one of the first throw bars in the country, and a throw bar is simply drink beer and throw stuff, is what it is. And you are truly competing. Every single game in there is going to be giving out a prize. We've got a list of about five games in that area, from axe throwing to football bowling to stump to a game called Smash, where you drink beer and throw baseballs at China plates. And then a live game show broadcast live on TV called The Balls in a China Shop Game Show. And that actually, that takeoff is in another company that I own in Chicago as well that does things. So right now in the portfolio, we've got Throw Nation Dublin, that we opened up in 2019. And we also opened up Throw Nation Elmhurst outside of Chicago.
Gotcha.
So we have two Throw Nation, two throw bars. But before that, I had opened up, I think it was a total of about 11 axe throwing facilities all across the country with partners and myself and things.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sold off a number of those. I was left with Columbus axe throwing, Ragnarok axe throwing in Indianapolis, and Ragnarok axe throwing in Chicago. And then my partners, Atlanta and Houston. And we're expanding the one in Houston. In St. Louis, we have two in St. Louis. Closed down one, going to the second one over that way. And then a game show downtown Chicago called the Game Show Game Show. And it's a collection of TV's greatest game shows on a game show. And it's broadcast live on YouTube. And that's been around for about 3 years, going on 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and we took that concept, brought it here. And of course, escape rooms. That's how we started the industry, in escape rooms.
Yeah. And you also did color runs too, right?
Oh, yeah,
you put together color runs?
Bubbles. No, we did a color run. We called it Columbus Color Palooza. It was the second color run. We saw that the color run came out 1 year. We followed them up and did a color run there.
Gotcha.
And then mud runs throughout the company's mud runs, tomato fights. Tomato fights was fun. We did one in Boston, D.C., and then the bubble run. That was a big one, the bubble run.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you know, which is, it's perfect. I mean, I think the listeners will recognize that you're clearly an out-of-the-box thinker, right? So a very unique entrepreneur and business owner here in Central Ohio and obviously other locations. What is the tie to Chicago? I mean,
So Chicago, after doing the Bubble Run, Color Run, Bubble Palooza, the Mud Ninja, the Mud Runs, I was looking for something that could be stable and I didn't have to promote really hard for the week up to the event and months and weeks up. I wanted something ongoing. And I was looking for that in my head. And escape rooms. So that was the escape room. We built it in Dublin, Ohio, in the garage here. Now, if you've heard of escape room, I'm pretty sure you have by this point, everyone that's listening. This first one in the United States was in Los Angeles. Out in L.A. Yeah. San Francisco and then L.A. And we flew out and we did the one in San Francisco. And we opened up, it was either the second or the third one, that's to be debated between a friend of mine. And we opened it up here. We built it in my garage in Dublin, Ohio, with friends and family, based upon what the most popular TV show was at the time. And my thought at that point was, how can you take reality TV and experience? That was my thought at that time, because we watched American Ninja Warrior and we made Mud Ninja, which was a chance to kind of like be on that show in front of your friends and family in Southern Ohio. It's still going on. And why not do an escape room where there's a live zombie in the room? Now, that's an oxymoron, right?
Right.
We actually named the zombie Dr. Oxy because it's an oxymoron. Dr. Oxy's in this room, trapped in the room of zombie, and every 5 minutes it goes off, this buzzer, right? I talk like this. I am your host, Professor Von Gutenberg, and that is Dr. Oxy. So it's an interactive theater show.
Right, right.
And that show launched December 4th, 2011. Still goes, still plays in Madrid, plays in London, and it plays in other major cities in the United States, and it's going in Chicago. So that's awesome. Why Chicago. And it was great. Yeah, I came up with the idea. 3 weeks later, we're in Chicago. I'm just, yeah.
That's cool. And yeah. So do you license that then to people?
Or? I did. I licensed that out. We had it in 22 locations all together. Spain still, and then we did a different deal there, but London's still part of the license deal. And other licensees that new things. But what has happened, though, number of competitors have come out and kind of copied that idea and gone on and created a number of escape rooms. Wonderful. Right. If you ever do an escape room, haven't done one, you got to do one. Multiple different themes.
Right.
At that time, there was only two themes in the country. One was locked you in a room and try to get out. There was really no theme. The other one was a zombie, which was a lot of fun. So that's my tie to Chicago. And from there, every time I'm getting ready to launch a new event that I'm not ready to talk about yet. I kind of told you ahead of time, but I'm going to keep that under wraps. And we're going to do it in Chicago because I know that if it works in Chicago, we're done. That's great. We blow it out. And then the numbers are based on population.
Right.
And you just adjust your numbers as an entrepreneur.
Gotcha. And then so that took you to, so you did the color runs and then you did the escape rooms, but now you sold the escape rooms here in Central
Ohio? I opened up here, some here, and someone made me an offer and I said yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And we did that and we got out of those and we just kept going with the next thing.
And then so obviously the axe throwing was probably the next thing, right?
In the picture of it all, let's see. Escape rooms. We did the game show. Yes, that's like I would say the next big thing would have been axe throwing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, is that something you had interest in before, or is that something that you just?
So, what I'm always looking for is money fast.
Right.
You know, I mean, who doesn't, right? You think money fast, and that's something called a blue ocean. If you think about oceans, and there's a book, someone wrote this book, one of my producers sent it to me, and I base my core philosophy, my business, on blue oceans. I do not want to open up a laundromat because at that point that I open up a laundromat, I have to, I got to work to get customers. I don't want to work to get customers. Right. I want to create a blue ocean versus a red ocean. A red ocean is red because the blood of the sharks are chomping each other because there's no food left, right? And the blood is there and they're lowering their prices. Basically, they're cutting their prices to get people in the door. I cut my prices as well, but I've got this other model that supports that. I will find something that is a blue ocean. There's no one around. I'm the only one on the sea. And let's just sail into the winds by myself, right? To do that, you can take an ordinary product and give something unique and special to it that people will flock to it without you paying for marketing. So if I can open a business and I don't have to spend money on marketing and people just flock to it, that covers my cost and I get my investment back in 3 to 6 months, I'm winning.
Right.
Now, if it takes longer than 3 to 6 months to get my investment back, I really want to kind of shy away from that business.
Gotcha.
I don't want to be involved. And that's just the business model that leads us to active entertainment because the variable cost, once you get it set up, usually is pretty low, except with the Blind Ninja Dinner Challenge.
Right.
And I'm learning rather quick. We've been open for 2 months. That's the latest event that we launched here in Columbus, Ohio, that we are taking to Chicago and Elmer's here February 14th. I just got off the phone with everyone lining it up. And that is a popular concept that's been done probably 3 times in the United States on major waves. Restaurants would catch on and do it. There's only 4 or 5 restaurants that do it full time currently, and that is dinner in the dark. You're eating blindfolded.
Right.
And I quickly realized why that is. That food cost is a fixed cost on the variable cost. So it's a high fixed variable cost because you have to know in advance to buy the food. So you got to book tickets far out, which is another technique in booking.
Right.
And you have to cook the food, prep the food, have backups of the food. And so this cost is going up. As I'm in this business and looking at the Blind Ninja Dinner Challenge, I was going to bust it out all across the country. That's what I really love doing with all these events because it's quicker revenue, fast money, real quick, right? I'm not going to be able to bust out the Blind Ninja Challenge. Right. It's not worth my time. It would be small profit margins. But since I already own a kitchen, it's a 14,000 square foot facility in Elmer's Throne Age with a huge, massive area for people to eat. We're not doing anything there on a Saturday night, a Friday night. They're all playing their games.
Gotcha.
So I set out to build the Blind Ninja Dinner Challenge, knowing that I know how to create an event. I know how to get people there and get excited about it. I know the elements that are involved of people high-fiving and screaming, yelling, and competitive socializing. What I didn't understand was this food aspect. I'm like, okay. But we have cooks. So in Chicago, we have cooks. I don't want to know about it. Don't tell me. Create this. Make it happen. Is basically, that's the phone conversation I had today. Here in Columbus, I'm working with a partner of mine that we're going to go off and do other businesses together. And he's helping me create that menu that is going to be the extra cost from a business standpoint. Still working, though. And we're selling out. It's wonderful. And now we're trying to increase throughput with the Blind Ninja. How do you do that? Because now you got actors. I've got them calling me right now here that I've got to... hire people to hire and train them.
Okay.
You know, from that standpoint. So Blind Ninja is going to work. Super excited. I love it. It's a ton of fun, a unique experience. And the corporate team building aspect should keep that one going.
And where is that in Columbus?
That's downtown, the brewery district.
Okay, right next to Hyback Tavern.
Oh, yes, thank you. Right next to Hyback.
Yeah, gotcha.
Second floor.
And so, okay, second floor, because there's axe throwing down there, right?
Axe throwing on the downstairs.
Okay, gotcha.
Second floor is Blind Ninja Dinner Challenge, and that's Monday, that's Friday nights and Saturday nights. And the neat thing is, we got all that space. I can't get to filling it up. So in my business model, by taking three, I'm getting ready to contract someone to fill up this space with classic bar concepts. You got your karaoke, you got your trivia night, all the classic chess games and things. So we're anxious to get that going. And what I try to think of is maximum throughput everywhere. Well, so if it's a dead space, how can we fill it? How get revenue where I'm not involved?
Right. Yeah,
I set it up, hire the people, train the people, expect that they'll fail, and then ask myself, if they fail, to what degree will it still work? And then we either close it down or invest more money into it. It's one of those two options.
Gotcha.
It's a simple litmus test.
Yeah.
And the moment that I'm involved, after originally setting up, then we have to ask how much does that happen? And if I have to physically go somewhere or leave my house or get involved, then we're either going to shut it down or we're going to figure out how to make enough of them to hire someone to do. Why would they need me?
Gotcha.
You know, if you need me in my business, then we got a problem.
Right. Well, and I mean, your passion obviously shows through, and we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, is that the first time we met, it was at the Throw Nation,
and you
were our axe guide, and we all walked away from that thinking, man, he was intense. I mean, energetic. And your passion for it really came through. And so when you're training people to be a food ninja, or you're training someone to be a guide there, how do you try to get them on the same page of being so energetic and really, being that passionate about what they're doing?
Right. And this is something I back myself in a corner to, because of who I am. That's just naturally what I create, because that's what I'd like to see, and that's who I am.
Right.
With all the events from Trapped in a Room of Zombie to a live game show, we got a game show host named Harry Pinklebottom and Vanessa Fairbanks, right? And those roles are over the top, right? In Chicago, it's easy because the improv actors
are all over the place.
Oh my, go to Second City. They're a plethora. It's always easy. In Columbus, Ohio, filling the game show that we have here, we have one actor, right?
Yeah.
Because hiring a whole bunch and giving enough work, but we couldn't find enough improv actors, step one. And the experts, same thing. So we stopped using the word actor because people would describe this as an actor. We would say, we got to bartender, .. Not really. We just want your volcanic personality. So it's all about hiring personality. That's step one.
Yeah.
We got to hire the personality that's loud. So we do auditions. And the loudest people usually get hired. I don't care. And you got to live within 45 minutes and be loud. We don't tell them that. But boom, if that's the case, now they're hired. Second piece on how to, I back myself in the corner. How do we get people to emulate the vision of this?
Right.
I wish I could go somewhere else, and I wish I could think of another way, but or maybe change. I've always been trying to dumb down what the product is. I have a hard time doing that, even with the ninja. So with the experts in specific or any of these, it is great. Now that we got the right person, let's give them all the techniques that I have analyzed. Now, I've done this in depth. I've done this in depth study because I know it's going to help the company. If we can figure out how we can motivate the people that we are entertaining to tip our actors, our experts, and I'm going to call them actors because really that's what they are. Mm-hmm. We say, if you're tired, you're sad because you ran over your kitten, and with your car when you're driving here, whatever it is, you got to act like you're happy and act like you're excited, right? So you are an actor. And we've figured out a way that at the end of the time that they're with us, hour and a half, 2 hours, and that's usually about the right time, they have inspired, motivated the people they are with so that, I'm trying to turn this phone off there, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So that the people want to reach into their pocket and give them the U.S. currency, okay? And we've figured out that formula. So if you figure out a formula and say, listen, I know you're tired, I know you're excited, this is what the job takes, do you want to do it or not? And I'll tell you what, if you say these three things on this point and you talk like this and you scream and yell, there's a high likelihood people are going to leave you some U.S. currency. I'm not going to say it's happening all the time, but so U.S. currency is a motivation.
Right.
The other motivation is hiring the right people that do not do this job for the money. Now, that's the contrary, right? They want the money. We will give them this opportunity to make good money, but we want to hire you not because of the money, because you want this. And the actors are keen in this, and this is a special thing, and it means a lot to them. They want to have the ability to do two things. One is when they call their get a phone call from the parents, and they start telling them, they look forward to that phone call so they can say, "Mom and Dad, I made it. I am Harry Pinklebottom. I am the host on a live game show broadcast live in Chicago. What? No, I auditioned. I got the role. Now, little do they know they're getting paid above minimum wage. The parents don't, they don't tell me that. But no, you're a live game show. Oh, yeah. No, I'm an expert. I'm an entertainer now. I'm entertaining these groups because they went to school for theater.
Yeah.
So as you know, in the theater community, you're waiting tables for the bulk of your life. And when you land a gig, that is consistent. And we hire actors in these big cities. It is consistent. They are full time, you know, because we got so much business and they realize, wow, that I get to practice my craft of identifying myself as an actor and to tell their parents. So that's a key thing. They went to school all these years. The parents said, don't do this. They went and did it anyway. And now they can say, aha, I made it. Right? Just don't ask me a whole bunch of questions, Mom. I made it. Right. Okay? The second reason is so when they walk into a bar after they're done work or anywhere, they're dying for someone to say, what do you do for a living? And they say, well, I'm an expert. What? Yeah, see this tattoo right here? It's an app. Boom, boom. See this? See this? No, I teach people how to throw axes. Are you kidding me? Hey, let me buy this guy a drink. So that happens so often that the people work for us. We want them to work for the money because, you know, that helps. But we also want them to work for the identity. What do you do? Well, I'm a zombie. What do you mean you're a zombie? I'm serious. I play a zombie. I'm trapped in a room with a zombie. It's in 22 locations. It's on the Big Bang Theory. And they get excited telling their parents. They get excited and love it when people ask them in a bar. So we tap into that, try to find the right people, and we just let it roll and see how far. And you know what? It works pretty well. We don't have to. I thought when we started all this stuff, we'd have to hire people. It's too exhausting to be a zombie. You're going to have to hire them every 3 months.
Right.
We still have people with us after years.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and they practice craft. So I like that. And it's all in a manual and videos. So where I'm not involved, my APs show them the manual, have watched the froze, watch the videos, check off and everything, and go. And then we're going to do a review of you once every 2 months.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that, and that's really a cool way to do it is, and especially in Chicago, is where you have just an unlimited pool of actors and improv actors and all that
and
kind of
stuff. And they're
good. Yeah.
And they're really good people.
Yeah.
They're good acting. It's great.
So explain to me the game show.
Oh, okay. So the game show, this was another idea. We launched it here in Columbus to test it, kind of like what we're doing with the Blind Ninja.
Yeah.
Right? And then we're doing the same thing. We're not going to kill with the Blind Ninja here because of capacity. In Chicago, it's going to be great. So with the game show, and that's what it's called. You can look that up. TheGameShowGameShow.com.
Okay.
At the time, when it was 3 or 4 years ago, for whatever reason, my family were watching game show. We was watching these things. And I thought, how could you take the experience of being on a game show? You're lucky if you get on the game show. You have to audition. I auditioned for, what was it? I sent in my tape for Survivor, did that twice. Amazing Race, did that a couple times with friends, right? I didn't get picked.
Right.
I didn't get picked. That frustrates me. Right now, we know this is the first that we've ever heard of that we create an event that you do not have to get selected from the audience. You don't have to be that lucky one. You buy a ticket for $28 and you're on a game show. What? No, it's broadcast live. It's live on TV. If you have a smart TV, your mom and dad tonight can watch you on that link. Right? They can pull up the whole family. Oh, look, there's Junior. Oh, he's got the grandkids. Wave hi at the camera, right? And root you on through the night. So what we did, we analyzed all the popular game shows from Family Feud to Wheel of Fortune it's Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, Price is Right, all these family game shows. And we tied it in with adding some challenges, dividing it into teams, which is part of the magic of creating a corporate team builder. Put the Wheel of Fortune cookie on there and spun it and put it all together with two hosts, makeup, lights, cameras, glitter, the whole thing in Chicago. And it's been there on Michigan Avenue in the Fine Arts Building across from the Bean going on 3 years now. And we could probably go in and update it and do all these fancy things to it. But why? I mean, it's working.
Right.
It's great. So we got it here in Dublin. And right now, to be honest with you, I was like, man, it's hard to get going here in Dublin. People don't know about it, but they love it and they want to go. But then I have to do what? I have to spend my time marketing it and working on it. And I don't want to touch it. Yeah. I just want to launch it and let it take off. And if it doesn't...
Now, where in Dublin is that? Is that
it's at Throw Nation.
It's at Throw Nation. Is that like in the back room? Or
it is. There's wooden plank and we got these lights that we got to get fixed on there. And people don't know about that.
Right.
And for me to have my entire team go, yeah, I'll do this, as a business standpoint, it's not worth it because the throughput's only 12 people at a time.
Gotcha.
In Chicago, it's worth it. Here, it's not. It would be great if I could make it work. And we're letting it sit here because it pays for itself, that type of thing. But it's not a blowout. I looked at it, and I probably could. I have a model of taking that across the country that I'm working on in bigger cities. So the bigger the population, the easier it is. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And that's all about I manage my time. I want to launch it and forget about it. Either makes money or it doesn't.
Right.
And it's just my personal.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, so, well, let's get people listening to the podcast, and they're going to find out about this game show and get people up there.
Oh, it's hysterical. Well, what I like about this game show is you're drinking beer and throwing baseballs at China planes for extra points in between the questions. And
that's cool.
The only reason we tied it in with a throw bar. Otherwise, it'd be a little odd.
Right. Now, so do you have to have a group of 12 to go do it, or you can get assembled with a group?
Yeah, it's just like you would do a normal game show, unless it's not. So what does that mean? So you could go right now, you and your wife, and buy a ticket online and come down Saturday night. There's tickets for sale. I don't know if they're sold out or not. And you would buy the ticket. And you would be on just like another game show with other people. The other version, just like axe throwing, is you would rent out the entire show for up to 10 to 12 people. And then you pay the price. Blah, 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 and now it's a private show. So it's private or public.
And that'd be perfect for a company.
Companies, because we can make the questions cater to the company. What year was your company founded? Who wore the Mexican sombrero at last year's Christmas party? Big old Amy. Was it? And we do that in Chicago.
That's awesome.
Here.
That makes so much sense. That's so cool.
Yeah, I think it's the neatest thing.
Yeah.
And I just, as long as no one calls me, we hire people to take care of all the problems. So as long as they do that thing, we're
right,
fine.
Right, yeah. Well, how do you guys identify your company culture? I mean, because, we talked a little bit about that earlier, before the podcast, but when you have these locations in Chicago, you have these locations in Columbus, downtown Columbus, some locations
India.
Up in Dublin. Mm-hmm. All over the place. It's how do you identify your company culture? And two, how do you make sure that that is consistent throughout your organizations, and obviously you do you have a parent company.
I do. I've got a couple,
and then those own these sub companies.
Right. Yeah, and branding is non-existent, and company culture is non-existent because each location, depending on the manager who's running it, how it's going, and how fast we move, and because literally it's a whirlwind. I've done 42 events in the last 9 years, 8 years, and that's pop ups down, boom, 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 like this, and that part's not going to stop because of who I am. For me to have something long term, that would be great. And I got Throw Nation and the other Throw Nation. If someone wants to buy it, that's great. If not, we'll do the long term, that type of thing. We'll just kind of see what happens. But I can switch out events real cool. So I love that. And then I have a structure of a director of operations. We've got a marketing person. We've got someone that we contact out to do our fundraising. And then we have AP, and we have a phone staff that answers all the phone calls everywhere. And then we have APs, and those are the associate producers that run each location.
Gotcha.
Those APs do not talk to each other. So there is no central company culture. It's more of location culture combined with Marty culture. And what I do now, I have a half an hour blocked aside to talk to each AP at a certain time, Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesday. I got to make a call today. I forgot. Or is it call in Indianapolis? So that they call me and I call them. And I'm usually on a ladder. Right? And that's the case. And they're in front of the booking system and Square, right? And they'll, well, the first 10 minutes, we go over numbers. Right? Okay, great. And we look at projection. That takes literally about 3 minutes. Where's this number, that number? Great. Where we need to hear. Got it. Thanks. Highs and lows. Buffaloes over the weekend. So really, Mount Everest and beaches. What broke? How many axes? How do you do it? Anyone drunk? Anyone calling the police? Okay. No. Great. Water break. Great. And then, hey, we had this awesome party. You should do this next. Great. And then we do over the to-do list. Hey, can you do this, this, and this?
Gotcha.
Right? In a half an hour, you try to wrap that up and head off the phone. And that's it. And I look at two things by managing all those locations, the two R's, revenues and reviews. So I look at those on a consistent basis, all the reviews. We have a system to get reviews in. I have a managing system. It's a company I pay to go out into the world and get all the reviews we have. Mm-hmm. And then if I see a bad one, I email it and I call and say, hey, what happened here? And I see the good ones. And then, hey, pat that person on the back and give them a bonus, all this fun stuff. And that's it. And I keep telling my company, I told the company this. If you guys, I give you Cartier Blanc, if you're going to spend over $100, text me what it's for. And that's what that text was. So you did a big order. And everything else is already, because there's not very many expenses in doing what we do. Yeah. Now we own some restaurants, so it kind of is. I don't know anything about that.
I was going to say, restaurants are a whole different animal, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You have to have people there to clean. You have to do these services like Cintas. And there's all this stuff. And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Why would I do this? Well, I still don't know the answer to that. I don't. I mean, and I don't want to know. That's funny enough. I was talking to my operations manager, general manager in Chicago. And it's a massive restaurant and all this stuff. And we're trying all these things. And I said, can we shut the restaurant down? He's like, no, you can't shut the restaurant down. I would prefer to shut the restaurant down, but then you can't serve the beer as well. And all these things. I'm like, all right, let me build you an event that will make money on a restaurant called the Blind Ninja Dinner Challenge. And that was another precipice because all this space, and I'm paying all these people to be here.
Right.
what is this? Let me fill it up and get you an event, because that's what I know how to do, fill up seats with an event. Whether buy the food, cover the cost, and have these people actually do something instead of waiting for people to walk in the door at like a restaurant. I'm not a restaurant owner fan, and now I'm a restaurant owner, and I'm like, wow, I'm not a fan of myself. How do I get out of this one? And not that I want to. It's just like, just look me in the numbers. Is it making money or not? You know, if it's not, shut it down. Well, we can't. Okay, whatever. So I try not to worry about the restaurant part. Just keep building the portfolio to cover if the restaurant were bad, or try to shut it down to get in the beer. Beer's awesome. Oh, my gosh. That's easy. Take the thing. Boom. Profits are great. Margin stuff. But to cook something, I don't know. Now I got this event surrounding the ninja type of thing. So the Marty culture and the corporate culture, it's trying to blend all those.
Right.
And I like to, we briefly talked about personal guarantees and that kind of thing. So that is the opposite of anything I ever want to sign. Now I've done it and do it and those type of things. But it's like, I want to throw it off if it makes money, like build it, make money, yes or no. If it's a no, either I can change it. I don't want to invest any more money in it if I can get out of it real quick, right? Because if I'm investing money in something that's already there, is it that hot new thing that everyone's going to swarm to for usually a turn of about 3 years? So when you come out with a Bubble Run, Color Run, Tomato Fight, Game Show, Escape Rooms, Axes, Blind Ninja, there is a pop in this bubble, right?
Yes.
And there's this
yes.
certain sweet spot where if you bank money, then you can hopefully either think of the next thing or let those die off. I had 22 escape rooms, sold them, closed them, let them die off, whatever, and then just kind of, what's next? Axes, same thing. So we're always at the conventions, what's next?
Right.
Right, you know, but,
yeah, no, I love that because, I mean, you're already setting up an expectation of, you know, I have a plan A, I got a plan B, and then I got plan C, and let it die off if that's the best thing for the business, right?
I mean, right.
And sometimes that is the best thing for the business. Hey, this might be a good time to take a break, maybe stretch out, grab a drink. And while we do, here's a little bit about iRealty Experts. Hey, if you're new to Central Ohio, iRealty Experts is the real estate brokerage of the future now. We are a full-service real estate brokerage and consulting firm, and our mission is simple. Provide superior real estate brokerage services while offering an affordable solution to the real estate process. With professional real estate agents throughout Central Ohio, we pride ourselves on being advocates for our clients in every step of the real estate process. Whether you are buying or selling a home, contact an iRealty agent today and let us put our local real estate knowledge, flexible commission rates, and expert negotiation techniques to work for you. Call us toll-free at 877-695-4004 or visit us online at iRealtyExperts.com. You mentioned the Blind Ninja Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that. What is the process?
Okay. Process is this. This is fun. Fun. So imagine this. You're going to go out and eat dinner anyway. Imagine if you went out and ate a nice dinner with your friends and family or your loved ones or your dates, and you said, now we're going to do something cool, axe throwing or room escape. I want you to take that price of doing both of those and combine it. Now you get the active entertainment and the dinner, the five-course meal, all served at once. What is that? The Blind Ninja Dinner Challenges. Now, this concept of dinner in the dark is extremely popular all over the world except the United States. And I know why.
Right.
I do. I know why. I have tried eating in the dark before with my eyes blindfolded. And the part that I like about it, the part that is exciting, is the part of putting the food in my mouth and recognizing what it is. Right. Now, if you think about typical North American cultures, we eat dinner and we're done. Right. We had family, you go home, you eat dinner, and everyone's got their thing. What is a European culture? I lived a year in Spain with a host family. Right. Our European culture was to eat dinner for an hour and a half. You start at 9 o'clock. Right. It is a production. You're hanging around. You're sharing your day more so. And especially then if you go out, forget about it. Now we're at 2 hours, 3 hours. So eating dinner in the dark in European countries and the rest part of the world is, it blends into their event already, which is eating.
Right.
It, in the United States, the concept fails over a long period of time because, well, I tasted my food. What else are we doing here? That's it, right? So what we did, we took the concept that's popular around the world and we changed the culture to match the culture of the United States. What is the culture of the United States? It is what's next. What is next?
Right.
And that's
right.
How we build all the that's events.
Exactly right.
It really is. We build all of our events based on one concept. You have no choice. When you sign up for axe throwing, the actual premium product, the most fun thing where you're winning that stamp. We took all your choices away. Now, you don't know this. Same thing with our game show and same thing with our escape rooms and our mud runs, everything. We remove your choice. So the moment you enter the facility, hey, friends, I need you to sign the waiver. That's fantastic. Go ahead and at Blind Ninja, sign the waiver, put on your goggles, right, and test them for us. Need you to go to the bathroom. It's hard to pee when you can't see, folks. Okay, come on over. We need you to stand this line, boom. And the rest of the event, the next hour and a half, 2 hours of your life, you are doing a yes and no function, just like axe throwing, just like the escape rooms. It's a yes no function that you have after you complete one task and you get a shot of dopamine. That's how dopamine is given to your body, right? You complete this, you're getting drugs. We're feeding them full of these awesome drugs because you just completed a task. We screamed and yelled, and your team got a point. Woo! But you did it blindfolded under the concept that, you're blind. And it's a really cool, that is a cool aspect.
Yeah.
And it really is, because think about it this way. When you eat, you see the food, you know what it's going to taste like, then there's nothing exciting going in. Here, we don't tell you what's on the menu. I love it. And if you start tasting what's on there, your brain is searching for answers. You find the answer, your brain gets a shot of dopamine instantly. So the amount of dopamine released in the Blind Ninja is phenomenal, because you got the food. Plus, we add in these different challenges that we're guiding you through over and over again. So that's why it works in the States. But to give you more of a vision of what's going to happen that night, you'll show up. You'll be greeted by a ninja in a ninja costume. You can see their face. They got a little bonsai headpiece on, and you'll be giving a few pieces of homework. We'll be high-fiving. Hey, guys, thanks for coming. And the lights are dim. I need you to pick out your goggles. Now, we have goggles to wear. They're ski masks with glittered, bejeweled items on it that match your personality. It could be a sunflower. It could be a tiger. Could be a wedding ring. Could be a pair of lips. Could be a butterfly. So we got 24 of those. We see 24 now, and we're expanding the throughput.
And those are just blacked-out goggles.
Yeah, they're blacked-out goggles. Okay. Now, here's something funny I got to tell you. You ever try to black out a ski mask? Probably not.
No.
Right? It's not on that. I'm not going to go home and do that. I go home and do that. I do. I've been doing that for the last couple of months here, building the ones for Chicago. The only way we have figured out, we've tried four or five different methods, spray, rubber paint, spray paint, it all fills up. It is black duct tape. That is the winner. That's the only thing. The tape peels and chips and smells bad and doesn't stick to the foam on these things. Anyway, it's a side funny note. So when you see these goggles, once you go, you're like, there's duct tape on this. Well, we haven't figured out that part yet. So you put this thing on, looks gorgeous. You're testing it. You can take an Instagram challenge where you try to take it because you can't see and you're blindfolded with your friends. And that's fun. And that's about 10 to 15 minutes. You got to show up early for this thing. If your show starts at 6, you're there at 5:40. We've got some appetizers to chew on. Then we all go out, gather around the ninja. Right? It's time, folks. You're ready to journey into darkness. Then we pour a shot of sake. Everyone's got a shot of sake, and we raise the glass. We say, icky. And they say, icky. Yaka, yaka. We lower the glass. Tomashita. Put the glass to our lips, and we down that first shot of sake. Thanks, folks. Sorry, put your hands together. Bring it in close. Then we give you the backstory. So there's a picture of a ninja on a wall, and I take out my chopstick. It's been in my belt. And I'll take that out, and I'll remove that picture, and it plops off. And behind that picture is the backstory to the Blind Ninja Dinner Challenge, where in the 13th century to 15th century in Muromachi period of feudal Japan, the warring fractions, the Koja clan, was a warring ninja fraction against the Inga clan. At this point, we divided you up. Give me a Koja, and they yell, Koja! And then give me Inga, Inga! And we go on to tell the story of how these long-lived masters have finally decided on their deathbeds to combine the tribes, but to be ruled by one of the tribes. Tonight, you will find out who are the master dinner challenges and take home an amazing prize to free football bowling at Throw Nation.
So, cross marketing, right?
And we already explained what that was, football bowling. That's in our prelude there. And they're all excited. And at that point, we go over the rules. So, guys, and because this is a dangerous event, like mud runs, we produce a mud run. My brother's got that now, Mud Ninja. Yeah, down in Southern Ohio since 2011. That mud run is dangerous. This event is dangerous. Okay? You are blindfolded, and you're getting ready to walk in a room, so we really hype up that danger because it is dangerous. We got to let you know that if you have fast, furious movements are bad.
Right.
Slow, gentle, deliberate movements. They're good, friends. They're good. If you find, listen to this, all the commands, please agree to listen to my command. And we have to really raise our voice a lot because people are yelling and screaming and having a good time, right? And they're drinking beers.
Yeah.
And we get no one's gotten hurt so far. But if you keep your blindfold on and run across the room, you are going to get hurt.
Wait, so they go into a room to where they have to actually find? So they're not sitting at a dinner table.
Not yet, but they will be. They will be. Okay. Right now, they're outside. I didn't prelude that. They're outside of the area they're going into. It's behind a curtain. And they put the blindfold. They have no idea what the room looks like until the very end. So at this point, they are... we're going over those rules. And we have some fun ones in there. It's like, if you stick something in your mouth and it's still moving, spit it out. We didn't do our jobs. We didn't do our jobs, right? If you smell a flame, touch a flame, are in pain, please yell and let the ninja know. There's no flames.
Right.
If you're do not hand off a sword to anyone else. Right. And you're in your mind like, crap, I'm holding a sword? What is going on? Now, they do hold swords in the show.
Okay.
They're sword handles.
Gotcha.
But they're not the actual sword. No, we're just telling them, if you find one, don't hand it off, right? If you find yourself being tied up and led from the building, please advise your ninja. This is not part of the experience at all. So we have him chuckling and having a good time. At the end, we bid them farewell and say, Ishu katosimo. That's not it. There's a word up there in Japanese saying, enjoy life, and that's what you're here for. So at that point, we put on our masks, and we have four ninjas for 24 people, and we are guiding them on voice commands. And the hardest part is to get 24 people into their space sitting down.
That
is, right. We're failing left and right. People are fine. And they don't know. We're chaos. Go this way. All right, move down. It is not easy. Never has been easy. And we've done, I don't know, 30 shows or not. But I like to say we're getting better, but I think that part will always be a challenge. And when they sit down, we have a gong. We ding the gong and we go right. They put on a bib. They have to put, the first challenge is find their beer holder, put on a bib, put on another napkin, and resume the meditation position where you have your hands, you put it on your Buddha belly. And that's going to keep you safe all night long because you're not flaring your arms on things that will potentially be in front of you for your challenges. And some of the things that we ding a dong and then we go into the script. And it goes back to the Koja Ninga tribe. We're having them yell, Koja Ninga. And we give out points on these challenges. The first challenge they have is an escape box. And we call it the fortress. We tell the story about how the Inca, and this is real ninja history. I did ninja history research and
gotcha.
How about these tribes and did all this stuff. And we tell a story about, it was kind of neat, how like 30 ninjas invade a fortress of 200 guards and take out all the guards, right? And this whole thing. And you now have a fortress in front of you. You must find the fortress, find your challenge, and complete your challenge. We don't tell them what the challenge is, and we don't find the fortress. And we hire on new ninjas, and they want to get away from the script and tell them what to do. I'm saying, dude, you are robbing them of their money because they pay to get shots of dopamine. Now, how do you get dopamine? When you figure out something, and you figure it out, and you get how you get a shot of dopamine. So if we tell them what their challenge is, we have now robbed them from a shot of dopamine. We say challenge, and all enough that the clans, they're working together, they're talking, yeah. They figure out, oh, I got to do this, and now, and then people are getting shots of dopamine. They do that for 10 minutes, and then we have a number of other challenges on a 5-course meal that I don't want to really ruin for anyone, we're not allowed to talk about that.
But they don't pick out their like that. They have to basically figure out what they're eating. They have no idea.
Correct. One of the rules and tips to help them guide them through experience, if you put something in your mouth that you don't like, just spit it out. You're blindfolded, so I mean, if you can't eat that, or if you grab someone's shoe and send your mouth, just spit it out. Use your intuition, right? And that what I have finding, people sign up for, it's polarizing, and that's another event. That's another sign that if I am onto an event, like axe throwing was polarizing, trapped room was zombie was polarizing, mud runs are polarizing, tomato fights are polarizing. Why? Yeah. So many people say, I will never run in mud. Why would you do that? Back when they came out, people didn't understand. Why would you drink beer and throw axes? It's so dangerous. I will never take my family there. You know what? After they found out what it was. So polarization allows for people to talk about the event, and we don't have to pay them to talk about it, right? They do it organically. If you go to our Facebook right now for the Blind Ninja Challenge, you will see, gross, how could you let someone trust them to put food in front of you? This is the craziest, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You will see many of those, right? As soon as you see that, you see people, hey, Amy, hey, Susan, we got to do this next date night. It's going to be so cool. And it is cool for those people who believe that it's cool because they already decided before they came, you know what? This is who I am. I am a weekend warrior. I live a lifestyle of amazing fun. I do mud runs and color runs. I will conquer this challenge, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the people we're marketing to.
They're putting it on social media. They're putting it on Facebook and Instagram and all that.
You know something, Aaron? Something I love when I'm on a plane and people ask me what I do, and depending on how I'm feeling that day, yeah. I could say a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I love to say I sell Facebook pictures.
Right.
And it starts this conversation. What do you mean? I didn't know you could buy a Facebook. Well, I mean, think about it. When's the last time you posted something? Well, I posted something. I went out to Top Golf and I put, well, there you go. Somebody, Top Golf sells Facebook pictures, don't they? Well, I guess they do. You know, you're out there in the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in the event not to sell the event itself, kind of like prom. Prom was never about the dancing for a lot of people. For me, it was. So I'm a lot of dancing, right? It was about the promenade. It was about the shenanigans beforehand and after thing. Same thing here. When I create an event, I'm creating truly, truly, my product is the Facebook picture that they're going to share and tell the world to prove that they live a fulfilled, passionate life on the weekends with that picture, right? And now they, on Monday morning, on the way to the, they're thinking, man, on the way to work, I can't wait to get to the water cooler Because now I have a story for that water cooler. I'm just going to hover. Let someone ask me, hey, how was my day? What did I do the weekend? You know what I do on the weekend? I got pictures to prove it.
Yeah.
And I trapped myself in a room with zombies. You did not. No, I went to a tomato fight is what I did. No, really? You did the blind ninja thing? Tell me about it. I heard that was cool. Oh, dude, you won't believe this. Look at this stamp of Lumberlord, 6 inch. But they still got the stamp on for the axe thing, right?
Right.
So if we sell them the story backed by the Facebook picture or vice versa, and we focus on that to build the event, and we did it with the blind ninja, even though we're still failing in my mind, and I'm being very candid here, I think we're failing on a lot of aspects of, I want the food aspect of it, right? Because we don't, I mean, we've got an executive chef that we hire, boom, 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 he's my partner, he's making all this amazing food. I want people to enjoy their food and know what they're eating, but we can't do that. That's why I feel I'm kind of, because there's this restaurant thing. When you go to a restaurant, you have this anticipation of getting what you ordered. I think we're failing them on the food side because of that. But you know what? On the experience side, we're not.
Right.
You know, the food tastes wonderful. It tastes delicious. But they can't know that going in. And that's what they typically go to a restaurant. I guess the word failing is wrong. I guess that's not part of this event. The food is not part of the Blind Ninja Dinner in the Dark. It is so the bottom of the barrel. And it's delicious stuff. You're going to get full. And it's wonderful. It is the experience of completing these challenges in the dark. And really, and people get into it. They want to win.
Yeah, I imagine. You know, do you ever get picky eaters?
Yes, we do.
And they, you know, coming in there, because I know so many picky eaters, specifically my children.
What they win is the Scientific Ninja Award at the end. We get these names, we name them.
Yeah.
And it's called the picky eater in our end, and we never say that.
Yeah.
They study their food with great in-depthness, deciding which piece to eat. And the answer is yes. I mean, yes. And think about this. Think if you had to plan a 5-course meal that made everyone happy. It's impossible.
Right. Yeah, right.
It's like being a politician, right? It's impossible to make everyone happy.
Especially such a large group, right? 12 or 24.
24. Yeah. But just dealing with humans.
Yeah.
Right? And the palate, it's so expensive. So when you sign up for this, you already know. It's like, all right, boom. If you get hungry here, and great here. Now, we have nothing exotic.
Right.
Nothing. We have things that you would buy on a 5-course meal. We really would. It'd be a 5-course meal at a restaurant. So that are delicious. But if you don't like, let's say, for example, filet mignon, don't eat it. Spit it out, right?
Right.
If you don't like jamón serrano from España, spit it out. If you don't like, we have these fancy cheeses and all these things,
yeah,
and grapes and things, well, don't put it in your mouth. And we told you that to begin with, and you knew about it from your friends. Don't buy the ticket. This is not for you, and this is not for everyone. Like trapping a room with a zombie,
right,
is not for everyone. Only certain people who like laughing and giggling, enjoying life, and say, let me try something new. And trust me when I tell you, that is a small percent of the population.
Right.
But I only need a tenth of a fraction of that population to have a profitable business.
So utensils or no utensils?
Well, no.
Or you don't have to say if it's going to give anything away.
I will clearly say no classical utensils. We use the word find your utensil, but a utensil could be really anything, right? I can tell you there is not a single fork, knife, or spoon, traditional fork, knife, or spoon in the show. I can absolutely tell you that.
That's awesome.
Our slogan is find your food, find your mouth, eat, maybe.
Well, we got to go down and try that. Now you have me sold. I'm gonna take the family down. My first experience was that with Thronation, one of your concepts, where I went in with my wife and another couple and my son, and we went in after dinner one night and had a blast. The other couple, he's a former OSU quarterback, and we were playing the football bowling that you have in there. And of course, right when we walk in, my son's like, hey, Dad, I'm on his team. You know, and he was just throwing missiles at these things, and it was just exploding the pins, but I probably went there with the wrong guy, but it was a blast. I mean, so you have the football bowling there, you have the nail and the log.
Stump. Yep. And then smash, or it's not the game show smash. The game show is balls in a china shop, but it has that same, where you take the baseball and you throw it at the china plate. It's very, very fulfilling when you break a china plate. It's a plastic china plate that breaks when you hit it. And we just added, and then axe throwing, and then football, and we have beers beat right now, where you throw a frisbee at beer bottles, knock them off. We do have some iceless curling in the front. And that's, people don't want to come in, so they don't want, it's just a small little one to set up. We're adding puzzle boxes to the bar. As of this week, we're starting by there. So when you sit at the bar, we have tabletop tiki toss there, which is your classic ring and a string. And we built something smaller where 4 people could play it at a bar, which is kind of neat.
That's cool. Yeah.
I love that. Having my kitchen table, I beat a whole bunch of foreign exchange students over the weekend at a party at our house. I'm good. I mean, I was like, boom, it's great. And I like what we're doing now is spending a little extra money to buy these just puzzles that you figure out, these mechanical puzzles and things that are at the bar, attached to the bar there, where you, as you're drinking, you're like, well, let me try. You know, I think that that is a new thing we're kind of trying.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're a real estate brokerage, and, you know, we envision a lot of our listeners being some of our clients, local business owners, and just, you know, people here in the Central Ohio community. You know, being a real estate brokerage, I always, you know, we're talking to people who we work with, a lot of relocation buyers and things like that. People who are coming to Columbus from a different market or a different area, a different city. And, you know, the way we kind of want to wrap up our podcast are basically, you know, ask you and any guests that we have, what is your favorite thing about Columbus, about Columbus area? You know, you open up several businesses here in Columbus or Ohio. Obviously, you've been Southern Ohio and all over. But what are some of your favorite things about the Central Ohio community?
Absolutely.
And operating a business here,
sure.
and the people here and all that.
I remember deciding to move down here. My brother had a child. I was living in Chicago. My brother had a child. I was like, oh, man, that looks cool. I'm going to do it. My wife's from Coshocton. I'm from Greenfield, Bainbridge, Chillicothe area,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
So I want to come to Ohio. And she's like, I do not want to live back in Coshocton anymore or anything like it. I said, well, hey, just pick Columbus. We'll go somewhere. She found Dublin. It was great. My biggest fear when I moved to Dublin, this is early 2000s, was I would not feel like I felt in Greenfield, Ohio. When I walked down the street in Greenfield, I mean, like, you see friends, you stop at the post office.
You know everybody.
It was right. Your classic small town community where that was home. Mm-hmm. And I had this feeling, man, if I'm going to live here, how am I ever going to get that? And you know what, Aaron? I got it. I got it pretty quickly when the kids started doing playgroup.
Yeah.
Started from stroller group. So we went to the Dublin Rec Center, and my wife did, and had stroller group, and I'm still in front. Just 2 weeks ago, we were playing euchre again. We played euchre for years. So stroller group, we had a bowling league with my buddy Chuck, who's a college roommate from OU. And then high school, get the kids in high school, and now I was at a drama club meeting. Saw Meredith, sat right beside her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've seen Meredith since Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
All these years. I have a community of friends that in Columbus, Ohio, which is 1.2 million, something of that nature, not 2,300, 3,000 people, the small hometown, and I got that feeling. So that's my number one favorite thing of Columbus. In a community, you can get that feeling, right? And we have that here in the United States. Here in Ohio, in a small town of Columbus, so in Dublin, where we're at. I like that. Columbus specifically for business. It's been pretty neat. Pretty neat because I think it's a great stomping ground. When I open up a business, I have a now kind of a litmus test, again, a level watermark that says, in a population of this size, this event does this. So I like that. We are a very active community here in Columbus. The Arnold Sports Festival, one of the largest in the world.
Huge.
You know, we have the axe throwing tournaments. It'll be our third year with them. And I love the community. I love what that does downtown. And I really love downtown Columbus. Because you don't have to go to downtown Boston. I had someone say that recently, within the last 3 days, that Columbus was like a mini Boston downtown because they could go do all these things, get in your Uber, boom, 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 and have it. So living where I'm at in Dublin, I'm pretty happy. I've lived in New York City, San Francisco, Madrid, and Chicago. Those are the big cities I lived in. I don't want to live in those. I want to live in Dublin, Ohio, because if I want any of that, I have it with all the theaters, all the active entertainment,
right.
the bars. I've got all that stuff in a 17-minute drive.
Exactly.
It really is.
I was just going to say, 15 to 20 minutes, you're downtown, and you can have all that walkable stuff, and plus all the Bridge Park, you know.
Oh, my gosh, forget it. With Dublin
district.
And Bridge Park, and what's common with Bridge Park, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I don't even have to go to the town anymore, except I got a bar down there, so I got to go
in the restaurant
down there, so which is good. The other big point is the international airport, it's done. You know, if I'm going to Egypt, if I'm going to France and Germany, if I'm anywhere I'm going, done.
Yeah.
I don't have to drive 2 hours. I mean, boom, it's easy. My flights are right there. I'm 45 minutes away, and my daughter, I got a daughter from Germany, and she's going to Hawaii on Saturday, and I have to get up early and take her, and I'm not even flinching. It's like, okay, easy peasy.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Those are the things I love about Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, I really appreciate you coming in and doing this, you know, first show. You're the inaugural guest, right?
Woo-hoo.
So I really appreciate you coming in and doing this. It is it's a thrill to have you, and hopefully we can get the word out and get some people on that game show. I'm gonna take our firm in there and we're gonna rent it out book it and do it, because it sounds like it would be a blast. So
it was a fun time. I appreciate it. It was a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for doing the show. And we would like to thank the talented students in the Music Technology Program at Capital University for their work in editing and producing this podcast. The new Convergent Media Center at Capital hosts a variety of media-related programs, including music technology, film, media production, radio, emerging media, and public relations. To learn more, go to www.capital.edu. If you're a local business owner or a real estate professional or an artist or entertainer and you'd like to be featured on Local Insight, feel free to reach out to us by email at info@irealtyexperts.com. Hey, thanks again, and we'll talk to you guys soon.